Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 370, recorded on July 20th, 2019. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and this episode is sponsored by Captera. Check them out, captera.com/Tios. Simply Safe at simplysafe.com/Tios, and Mint Mobile, mintmobile.com/Tios. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from Smile. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and I feel like it's been forever since we've been able to hang out like this. I've been missing you.
Yeah, it's been a bit. I'm in my new place in Pasadena. I just got back from working like a madman on the Cal Poly Hyperloop pod, which we'll be showcasing tomorrow at the Hyperloop competition.
That just sounds sexy.
Dude, it's been crazy. It's, you know, so I'm graduated. I'm, you know, I have a gig and everything, but I really wanted to work on this project because, you know, the integration or the intersection between hardware and software is something that I really get excited about. You know, people, mm-hmm. you know, in professional life hear that I can do software stuff. And, you know, being an aerospace engineer, that's kind of rare. And they want to stick me on just like being a software engineer, basically. And I'm like, no, I want to use software as a means to, you know, make cool stuff happen in real life, you know, have actuators run, you know, motors and sensors and, you know, use that power to bring all the cool hardware together. And that's what I was able to do with the Hyperloop pod. 'Cause you know, we have, you've probably heard of contactors like in, you know, electric cars, you have these giant relays basically that have to close to let, you know, that high current through. You have to have computers to sense the voltages on that and make sure everything's all, you know, nice and temperate and all that kind of stuff. And you've got actuators and distance sensors and lasers and LiDAR and, you know, all kinds of good stuff. And I had fun.
I think it's getting hot in here.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So that was cool, but I'm here. We're here talking about iPhone stuff. And the first thing, I guess we added this right before the show started, the Face app. And this is something I didn't know about until I think it was CBS tried to scare me about the Face app. So I guess the Jonas Brothers and other people we're like aging. So you can age yourself with the Face app. Apparently I'm out of the loop. And you can do other things with Face app as well. But it has, you know, some pretty good tech that lets you morph your face. And the popular one lately has been making you look old. I think it's been around for a few years.
It's been around for at least 2 years.
Yeah. For iOS and Android, by Wireless Lab, and this is a Russian company.
You know, okay, so people are saying it's a Russian company.
Okay, is it not?
It is, but I think it would probably be more transparent to say it's a company in Russia, because I think a lot of people, when they hear it's a Russian company, are equating that to this is a company or a group of developers that is controlled by the Russian government.
Sure. Yeah.
And as far as I know, that is not actually the case. And there are a lot of companies in Russia or developers in Russia that are making apps. So this is not like that's anything new either.
Right.
Yeah. So the big thing that set all of this off was someone went through the terms of service and they found the paragraph where it says that any of the images that you capture with the app become essentially the property of the developers to use any way they please now and in the future. And it can be used for marketing or anything else that they so choose in any medium currently known or invented in the future. And when I saw that, I'm like, that's pretty much copy and paste. As far as terms of service go, you look at any app that needs to have access to content that you are creating in the app, and they have something that's worded, if not exactly the same, pretty darn close to the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of crazy when I saw this article and I went, okay, so let's see what's going on here. And I read through and I saw that talk about that paragraph and I kept reading thinking there's gotta be more, cause it didn't set off any alarm bells for me. And sure enough, that's it. It's just a bunch of fear mongering, really.
Mm-hmm.
So
a few years ago, Adobe ended up in the news for Behance. I'm pretty sure it was Behance, which is a service that they bought that they use for image sharing. So you can make portfolios of your photographs. It's a tool that they wanted to have so that professional photographers would have a way to showcase their content. And the wording in the terms of service included the same thing, where it just straight up said, anything you put on Behance, Adobe owns, and we can use any way we like, and we can do anything we want with it. We can make money off of it. We don't have to give you any money. If you have trouble with these terms of service, go screw yourself. And when that kind of boiled up, I think it was actually Jeff Carlson that read through the terms and found that and called it out. And Adobe was like, wait, what? We're telling you we're going to own your content as a professional photographer? We're going to own your content? And what it came down to is that wording is so standard and so common that Adobe didn't even realize that they had included something in their terms of service that gave them complete ownership of the photographs that professional photographers are uploading. So they went back and changed the terms of service so that they didn't own the content, but they had the unlimited license to be able to display the content, which is exactly what they need. Because if you want people to see images that you put on Behance, well, Adobe has to have the right to show those images.
Yeah.
So anyhow, the terms that I'm seeing in the Face app, this is nothing new. And I'm not even freaking out because it's developers in Russia that created the app. And if people are worried about it now, why didn't they bother to check into the terms of service 2 years ago or whenever the app came out?
Yeah, it's dumb. So yeah.
I'm clearly not having sympathy in this case.
Honestly, I'm going to download it. I kind of want to play with it. Have you played with it?
I think I played with it a couple years ago, and I let it do the thing where it made me old and then it made me into a little kid, and then I had it turn me into a gangster or something like that. And
it can do like facial hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's FaceApp. Good for them. Free press. You know what? I'm going to say reverse conspiracy. Turns out they put that in there so they get a bunch of press so people would look at their app.
That's pretty clever. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Let's say that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on. So Apple released the third public beta of iOS 13, as well as iPadOS.
Are we on the third or fourth beta now? I've lost track.
It's the third public beta. It's the fourth developer beta. So this came out a day after the fourth developer beta, so I imagine it's the same build. and it's 10 days after the second went out. Are you using it? Because I'm using it on my iPad.
I'm using it on my iPad mini. So I have developer beta 4 installed there.
Okay.
And generally speaking, it's pretty cool. Although it's just full of weird little bugs for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that as a complaint. It's just an observation because this is a developer beta that I'm playing with.
Right.
I expect things to appear and disappear between builds, things to break, and then get fixed again. The one that I'm concerned about right now, and I've been so busy I haven't been able to do any research to see if it's fixed. It's a thing with data loss through iCloud syncing.
Ooh, yikes.
Yeah, that was something a lot of people were talking about in beta 3 and maybe even beta 2.
That's kind of frightening.
Yeah, so what it comes down to is this is beta software. And while I would expect that at this point in the game, we shouldn't have to worry about data loss in iCloud syncing, even in a beta, because that's something that should have been hammered out a long time ago. But that said, when you're working with beta stuff, you should always be prepared for the possibility of data loss. So if you're really serious about testing out everything in iOS 13 beta, you should have a test iCloud account and work with that so that if you lose data, it doesn't matter. It shouldn't be linked to your primary iCloud account.
Yes.
At least yet.
And I'm sure we all do that. Definitely.
Right. I'm sure that's exactly what every single one of us is doing.
Yeah. But yeah, I have it on my iPad, like I said, and I would never put it on my watch, not on my phone. But thankfully the thing that I was most excited about was all the features coming to iPad OS. And
yes,
man, I've been, you know, the beta it's very buggy, but I feel as though it's been worth it because the new features are just so much fun. The one issue that I'm having is slide over just doesn't work. Slide over is so screwy. Like, you know, you know, it's pretty easy to slide over, accidentally.
Isn't that kind of ironic? I can slide over by accident a lot, but when I want it to work, I usually end up swearing a lot.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, have you noticed that if you slide over, the slide over part works great, but if you want to get rid of it, you want to toss it aside, it basically just dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it dies. That's assuming I can get it to the point where it will die. It's the whole slide over thing is really flaky for me right now.
Yeah. So,
but still the overall feature set, holy crap.
Yeah. So I've been enjoying the multitasking. I guess the multitasking has been more confusion than anything, but sidecar, I haven't had a chance to really use that often because I don't, I do have, oh man, what's the new Mac OS?
I almost said Calibri. That's totally not right. No. I just
Catalina.
Totally forgot the name. Thank you, Catalina.
Yeah.
I had the right sounds, just in the wrong order.
Right. Yeah. So I do have it on my Mac. I don't often use it, but the sidecar is just incredible how well it works. It's just magical. The new stylus stuff. I love, the new, the stylus like picker.
Mm-hmm.
The floating, tool window is so nice. It's a little bit different from the way that other apps implement those things, but it has all the important tools and the fact that you can throw it around and minimize it. And that it's an open, option for any app to use is really, really big, I think.
On the stylus thing.
Yeah.
I'm giving myself a shout out because the whole thing with the new features we get with the stylus totally validates what I was saying when the original Apple Pencil came out, which is that Apple was so smart the way they did this because they don't have to give us a new hardware Apple Pencil every time they want to have new features. They can do most of it just with software updates. So we get essentially brand new Apple Pencils with higher resolution just by Apple rolling out new software or a new iPad.
Yeah. Yeah, that it's incredible. I love the new screenshot capability where you can do either an image or a scrolling view.
Yes, the scrolling view is nice.
I haven't tried it with a lot of things. I feel like, so it obviously works in Safari. I don't know if it works in messages. I feel like that's kind of difficult to deal with.
The only place I've played with it is in Safari.
Okay, yeah, but regardless, great. The 3D tough or 3D touch. That's mm-hmm. That's really, really cool. Clearly, I think we talked about it previously about how they need a consistent language for engaging in 3D touch.
Do you feel like we're getting there now?
I do. Yeah. Yeah, it's a touch and hold, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a hold for long. It's like a touch and hold and release.
Right. I like it, but at the same time, how do you describe to the muggles the difference between touch and hold and touch and hold? Because you have the short touch and hold for the 3D touch stuff, but you have the long touch and hold for reorganizing your home screen and deleting apps.
You know, I'm gonna say that you don't need to. You don't need to tell people.
I think there are going to be a lot of people that don't understand.
Well, I say that you don't need to because it's kind of a pro feature, and it's that's kind of how Apple does it, where it's like there's the extra layer of discoverability.
All right. Yeah, I can see that. The average person freaks out when they touch and hold because the icons start jiggling and they don't have any idea what's going on. So
yeah, well, they figured it out.
So 3D touch, they're probably not even going to experience it.
Well, how do you delete apps though? That's the thing. There is also, so they're improving it. I don't know if you're on the current beta. They now have, for things that have 3D touch options, they have a divider between the 3D touch options and then like there's rearrange apps and share.
Oh, nice.
I'm trying to pull up one that. Okay, yeah, the rearrange apps and share. Yeah, that's nice. And and show all windows, that's in the dock. Interesting. Yeah, so there's a lot of cool stuff going on there. I really like the new 3D touch stuff. I got used to it pretty quickly. And it's nice having it everywhere, so I think that I'll probably be using it more often than I did before.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it'll be something that I use more now.
I like that it's in Control Center for Wi-Fi.
Yes, finally.
It's super nice.
How many versions of iOS have we been complaining we couldn't do that? Actually, ever since Control Center was a thing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, this is one of those things that Apple should have had in some form from the very beginning with Control Center.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here we are. We had to get all the way to iOS 13 before it happened.
I'll take it.
Yes, I'll gladly take it. I'll complain for a little while and get over it. I will gladly take it.
Yeah, yeah. I do enjoy the notification center on the home screen, although it's kind of, I don't know, it feels a little limited. It'd be nice if I could do maybe three panels, but yeah, it's, you know, it's beta. But having the weather and like the latest baseball score or something like that is nice. Let's see what else. The new shortcuts and the new share sheet is incredible.
I haven't played with the share sheet yet.
It is amazing. So I use the share sheet all the time, and now they have, I guess you could call them Siri suggestions, as to mm-hmm. what to do based on, you know, how you communicate with people, how often you communicate with people, the way in which you do it, and you know, a lot of other things seem to be going into it. And the way is, so you hit the share sheet and it has a bunch of suggestions. So right now on, I have an open Safari window, it's suggesting, you know, do you want to AirDrop this to your MacBook Pro? And then the next one is, you know, send a text to your girlfriend, send a text to you guys.
That's nice.
Send a text to other people. And those are the other people that I've been texting with recently. And so it just kind of picks up on that and it makes it so much quicker. It's really good. And I don't know what this button, I mean, I guess that just closes it. And then you can have, then it lets you pull up options for, how you want to send it. So it has, so I'm in Safari, has a send as automatic either, or you can do PDF or web archive, which is really cool.
Nice.
And then, you know, find, and I mean, the new share sheet is just really good. They really knocked it out of the park with the new share sheet.
All right. I need to go play with it.
And the new scroll bars.
I like the new scroll bars.
You can finally like get through stuff quickly because you can actually grab a scroll bar.
Yes. Along those same lines, fixing the whole thing with what I'll call the heads up display stuff when you're like changing volume and all that.
Oh yeah.
Putting that out of the way finally. Yeah. Yeah. Scroll bars and those little pop-up volume sliders and stuff. So much better now. You know, I feel like my iPad Pro is finally hitting that point where it can truly be a replacement for my MacBook Pro. Not for everything I do, but just as a general use machine, my iPad Pro does most everything I need with iOS 13.
Yeah, yeah, I really do feel like it's pretty much there at this point.
Yeah, being able to plug in external drives is pretty awesome. Have you seen the videos of the guy that's been plugging in like 3.5-inch floppy disk drives?
And, no, but that's awesome.
And it works. Now you can't get the super cheap ones, you know, like the $8 drives.
Yeah.
Because those apparently one of the controllers has been pulled out of it to save money. But if you get one of the higher price ones, so I guess it's like $20, it works. I want to say it was called SuperDisk, which is not the same as the SuperDisk that Apple had back in the day. So it was a brand name of a high capacity drive, and the disks that it used were the same size as a 3.5-inch floppy. So if you have one of those, you can use the higher capacity disks that the drive used, or put a 3.5-inch floppy in there. And like the disks that this guy was popping in and mounting on an iPhone floppy disk, it was crazy.
Nice. That's so cool. Yeah.
So, you know, if you need to carry around 400K of data on a medium that's really slow to read and write, go get yourself a box of floppy disks.
That's so great. I'm loving it. It's great. And it seems like they're of course fixing things as they go. This I just updated and they seem to have fixed a number of bugs involved, so that's good. Let's see. So we've got some leaked photos of the next iPhone logic board. So, you know, of course, we're expecting to see a new iPhone in the fall. This is about the time to find something like this. So this is the logic board. I believe it is not populated with chips. I think it's just the raw board. And these are likely for the iPhone XR successor because they're the standard rectangular design. The XS has an L-shaped board, so we're expecting the XS successor to have that as well. So it's, you know, it's a kind of a cool picture. You get to see the way these things come out. And so as far as what we're expecting from the XR, you know, we're expecting a dual lens rear camera system, you know, the green and lavender colors, 4 gigs of RAM, and the two-way wireless charging. So you can check that out.
Yeah, I'm feeling like that the leaked photos we're seeing right now have a high likelihood of being legit. We're at the right point in the design and build cycle to start seeing stuff like that. You know, assuming that Apple is rolling out new models in September.
Right. And I think that's a safe assumption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been pretty consistent with that. Yeah. So, I guess Apple's efforts to stop all the leaks still aren't working as well as they would like.
Yeah. Well, typical. It's kind of difficult with the hardware anyway to do that. Did we talk?
I don't know if this is on your list.
Okay.
But did you see the thing, the story about the workers in one of the factories that were digging a tunnel out of the factory to smuggle iPhone parts out?
What?
Seriously.
Oh my God.
I saw this a few days ago. And apparently one of the factories that's producing iPhones, some of the workers had been slowly digging a tunnel under the factory and out so that they could smuggle parts for iPhones out and then sell those.
That's insane.
And they got caught. Because apparently it's kind of hard to hide a tunnel going out of the factory.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I don't know. I mean, what's in it for these people?
Oh, money.
But why? I think I know the answer. It's probably, you know, for case manufacturers, right?
Yeah, probably. And so they are probably making in one handoff the equivalent of what they make in a full year's work.
Wow.
And so that would be pretty big incentive to try and sneak these parts out.
Yeah. Yeah,
apparently it's good work if you can get it and not get caught.
Yeah, I guess it is. I can. That's nuts. Well,
yeah.
The next employees after them have a head start now.
Yeah, because part of the tunnel's already there.
Yeah, exactly. So this is an interesting story. So an Israeli firm, an Israeli security firm, claims that they can now harvest cloud data from iPhones and Android phones over various cloud services. So this is according to the Financial Times. The tool is called Pegasus. They call it, they refer to it as spyware. The Israeli group is, so it's NSO group. Mm-hmm. And it targets data uploaded to cloud services, works on Android and iOS, and it seems to work on Google Drive, Facebook Messenger, and iCloud. And really, it seems like it's kind of targeted specifically at two-step verification.
Yeah, the scary thing for me in this is that what they're actually doing is stealing the security keys, the encryption keys.
Yes.
And so once they've got that, I mean, they just have access to whatever they want. And to me, that's the bigger thing. It's not, oh, they can get my iCloud data or my Google Drive data. No, these people have figured out how they can apparently easily harvest the encryption keys.
Yeah.
Now, when I've been reading through the stories, when I say reading through the stories, reading the story you sent me, the takeaway that I'm getting from the way this works, and I'm not certain, but I am assuming for this to work, that the attackers either need to get physical control of your device, like they have it in hand so they can load their spyware on it, or they have to convince you to sideload it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they can't get at anything.
Yeah, I imagine that has to be the case, at least for iOS. So it works on iOS and on Android. But because that information, so apps are sandboxed, you need something that will, it seems like, perform something to the effect of a man in the middle kind of exploit, where it will intercept the keys. And I am also imagine it requires continuous access to the phone. It seems like, I mean, yes, it's very complex and sophisticated. It does work. I think they're looking for a lot of money for this software. But yeah, it doesn't seem trivial. It seems like something where, someone would have to get
a specific target in mind, like a political figure, someone that is a political dissenter, something like that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for what it's worth, you're not gonna want to spend the money to look at stuff from my iCloud.
Yeah, I think people would be very disappointed with the content that they find on my iCloud drive.
Yeah.
They'd be like, seriously? This is loaded up with keynote presentations and Omni Outliner files.
Lots of Omni Outliner files.
Lots of Omni Outliner files.
They're going to look at that and be like, this is the ramblings of a madman.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So not super worried. It's interesting to see how much more complex these exploits have been getting. And that's of course in response to the security that Apple and other companies are providing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
yeah, this is, it's the circle of life, digital life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Someone finds a security flaw, someone patches a security flaw, someone finds a new one, gets patched. Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata, exactly. Yeah. All right. So Apple actually responded to another similar issue, well, security-based issue, And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, we have to talk about our sponsors. And we will do that after this break. Our first sponsor this week is Capterra. We all have that friend who's the first one to try things, whether they're super trendy or more of a guinea pig. When you're making a choice, it's always nice to hear it from someone who's been there, done that. Choosing the right software for your business is no different. Read thousands of real software reviews to help you choose the right software for your business on capterra.com/tyos. Capterra is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business with over 850,000 reviews of products from real software. For users, discover everything you need to make an informed decision. Search more than 700 specific categories of software, everything from project management to email marketing to yoga studio management software. No matter what kind of software your business needs, Capterra makes it easy to discover the right solution fast. And I'm really happy these guys are sponsoring Tyos because I know how hard it is to find that perfect piece of software to fit your needs. Software I've talked about in the past, like OmniFocus, Sublime Text, and Confluence, were all discovered by word of mouth, but Capterra can help you find what you need faster than ever before. Visit capterra.com/tyos for free today to find the tools to make an informed software decision for your business. capterra.com/tyos. That's capterra.com/tyos. Our next sponsor is Simply Safe. According to studies, just over 10% of break-ins are planned beforehand. The rest are spur of the moment, crimes of opportunity. In other words, they're random. And what's crazy is that only 1 in 5 homes have home security. Maybe because most companies really don't make it easy. You have to schedule installers and pray that the system fits in well with modern technology. But that's why I love Simply Safe. Their system is easy to set up yourself and it integrates with iOS HomeKit with the help of a HomeBridge. On top of that, Simply Safe protects every door, window, and room with 24/7 professional monitoring. They make it easy on you with no contract, hidden fees, or fine print. Simply Safe has won a ton of awards from CNET to the New York Times Wirecutter. Prices are always fair and honest, with around-the-clock monitoring just $15 a month. But one thing that truly makes Simply Safe stand out is their video verification technology. When other home security systems are triggered, a lot of the time police assume it's a false alarm and the call goes to the bottom of the list. But not with Simply Safe. Using their video verification technology, they're able to visually confirm that a break-in is happening, allowing police to get to the scene 3.5 times faster than other home security companies. Visit simplysafe.com/tyos. You'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go there and be sure you go to simplysafe.com/tyos so they know that our show sent you. That's simplysafe.com/tyos. Our last sponsor this week is Mint Mobile. If you're still using one of the big wireless providers in 2019, have you asked yourself what you're paying for? Between expensive retail stores, inflated prices, and hidden fees, you're being taken advantage of because they know that you'll pay. Enter Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. Mint Mobile saves on retail locations and overhead and then passes those savings directly on to you. And after talking with these guys, I actually really appreciate what they're doing, especially for iPhone users. They know we expect a great experience and they go out of their way to make sure it's just as easy to set up, if not easier, than the other major carriers. They also provide the same features such as visual voicemail and personal hotspot right out of the box. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. With Mint Mobile, stop paying for unlimited data that you'll never use. Choose between plans with 3, 8, and 12 gigabytes of 4G LTE data. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch your old wireless bill and start saving with Mint Mobile. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and then get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/tyos. That's mintmobile.com/tyos. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/tyoss. We thank them for their support of the iOS show. Okay, so with that, Apple has temporarily disabled the walkie-talkie app for Apple Watch. due to a vulnerability that was discovered and submitted to them. So this comes from TechCrunch. Apple actually issued a statement about this, and so unlike the vulnerability that we talked about earlier this year, I believe, where it was a younger person who found the vulnerability and reached out to Apple and they didn't really do anything about it. I think that instance kind of changed the way that Apple deals with these situations. So Apple was notified of the vulnerability by a third party, and in response, they immediately disabled the walkie-talkie functionality on the Apple Watch while a fix is being developed. So according to Apple, they say, we were made aware of a vulnerability related to the walkie-talkie app on the Apple Watch and have disabled the functionality as soon as possible. Although they're not aware of any use of the vulnerability against a customer and specific conditions as a consequences of events are required to exploit it, we take the security and privacy of our customers extremely seriously. We concluded that disabling the app was the right course of action, as this bug could allow someone to listen through another customer's iPhone without consent. And they apologize for the inconvenience. Does anybody use the damn walkie-talkie feature?
I do, not regularly, but I do. And when I use it, it's so fracking convenient.
Really?
Yeah, like if I'm driving and I'm picking someone up and they're in a public place and there's a lot of other cars and I need to figure out where I can pull over, where they're going to be, the whole walkie-talkie thing is super convenient for that.
Because it's not raise and speak. You have to press the button, right?
Right. And for some reason, it's just wonderfully convenient in a couple very specific scenarios for me.
Interesting.
So yes, I use it. I just don't use it all the time.
Yeah, my mother recently got an Apple Watch, and she's, you know, immediately is like, oh, I gotta use the walkie-talkie. And, you know, she tries to walkie-talkie me, and I'm like, this is terrible, because now she's just, my mom is screaming at me through my watch at any moment. and that's terrible.
Michael!
Yeah. I'm like,
can you hear me, Michael?
Yeah, that's no good.
I think this is awesome. I'm picturing you out after like a really long day of number crunching and figuring out how to overcome some engineering issue. And so you're with the people on your team, you've gone out to this bar, you're unwinding, you're having a drink. Oh man, what a crazy day. I love this beer. Michael, can you hear me, Michael?
Yeah, it's a non-starter. So I have the walkie-talkie
all the time.
I have the walkie-talkie off, like kind of permanently.
That means I'm not going to be able to, in the middle of you having a drink with friends, start going, Michael, can you hear me? Michael.
Yeah, because the issue is it can blast through at any moment, right? When it's on.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, because the person starts talking and then you tap the button to accept the communication. And then once you've done that, then yes, it's just blasting.
Right. Yeah, I'm not into that.
It's really unfortunate. I was going to have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, yeah.
All right. So moving on. According to a research note this week shared by Philip Elmer DeWitt, Apple is expected to release AirPods 3 later this year, and he's expecting these will have an actual advertised water resistance to them. So this will be the first time AirPods have had an IP-rated water resistance.
Interesting.
And he's expecting that they will likely be released in time for the holiday shopping season. And it may also include some unspecified design enhancements out, although he wasn't sure about that one.
You know, if that's the case, then there must be some people at Apple that are really pissed off with having to delay AirPods 2, because the second gen AirPods were obviously ready for a long time and weren't released because everyone was or because they were going to be released at the same time as was it AirPower?
Right, yeah.
And when they finally killed AirPower, they just went ahead and released AirPods 2, which means that we're going to have a relatively short turnaround from the time AirPods 2 were released to the time that AirPods 3 come out. My guess is that there will be some people that bought AirPods 2 that'll be really pissed off.
Yeah.
Of course, that goes without saying. It doesn't matter when AirPods 3 would come out. There will be some people that are pissed off because now they have the old model. And they'll complain, Apple just made my AirPods obsolete. I can't believe this. What a crappy company.
Yeah, I mean, those people who do that, though, are like, were you just born yesterday? That's just how the world works.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. If Apple releases new AirPods in, let's say, September with the new iPhones, and you bought AirPods 2 at the end of August, beginning of September, and then a couple weeks later, AirPods 3 comes out. Okay. I can understand where those people could be a little upset. Like, seriously, I just bought these 2 weeks ago.
Right.
I'm just outside the return window and they come out with the new ones. Thanks, Apple.
Right.
But for everyone else, hey, your first gen AirPods, unless the batteries are dead, they're still great.
Mm-hmm.
So what version AirPods are you running?
OG.
Same here. And I'm thinking, unless Apple does something really compelling with the third gen, I'll still be rocking OG this fall.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm really looking at the Beats Pro. Are those the new, I forget what they're called.
Are those the ones that wrap around your ear? Like, they go in your ear, but then they have the hook thing that wraps around?
Yeah, they have the hook. So it's yeah, I think it's the Power Beats Pro. Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, so it's basically AirPods with an ear clamp.
With an ear clamp. Yeah, I mean, really is. It's a AirPods with an ear clamp, but they go in ear, and they have buttons.
Physical buttons.
They're physical buttons. Still has the W, is it the W chip? Whatever chip is, yes, in the AirPods 2. So these things have that. I've heard the buttons are really easy to press. Like they nailed the buttons. And you know, they have a charging case. They're basically, yeah, like you said, they're AirPods, but they're designed for working out. And oh man, am I really thinking about getting these things. If they sold, so they come in a couple different colors. Right now they're just selling the black.
Mm-hmm.
But they will have a couple other ones, including, they call it ivory, which is approximately the white.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking I'm going to get those because I've been rocking the Jaybirds. They're probably 3 or 4 years old at this point. You know, I can't wear my AirPods to work out. They just fall out.
The Jaybirds are still really nice.
Yeah, you know, with the little wing.
Yeah. That little shark fin thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I don't know. They feel very like last century to me because I use AirPods day to day. And they just work automatically with all my devices.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the charging case. Not to mention the fact that the Jaybirds, the battery is just kind of shot at this point. You know, they'll work for one workout and then to put them on the charger.
Yep.
So, yeah, I expect expect some feedback from me on some power beats probably.
All right. Well, then maybe before I replace or upgrade my AirPods, I'll wait and see what your experience is with the beats.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What do we have next? Talked about AirPods. Oh, how about the fact that according to a well-connected Mac Rumors tipster, Apple may reintroduce the classic rainbow logo on some products as soon as this year.
I saw that, and I am totally up for that.
It's interesting. It's a weird rumor.
It's a totally weird rumor. What I'm wondering is if it will be like a special edition option for something. Like you can get an iPhone Red, and maybe now you'll be able to get an iPhone Rainbow or something like that.
Yeah, like product, and then the money, product rainbow.
Yeah, and then there'll be a part of the proceeds goes to support LGBTQ rights or, you know, something like that.
Right, but yeah, I mean the LGBT rainbow is not the same as the Apple rainbow.
Yes, I know. I'm just thinking that would be a cool tie-in.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I would consider getting a rainbow logo version of something if there were proceeds that were going to support something cool. I'm saying that, but if I see the logo on something and it looks really hot, then I might be like, I don't care. I just want it.
Right.
But I like the idea of it being along the lines of a product red version of Apple products.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. So, let's see here. Oh, yeah. Okay. So this is kind of weird. So to celebrate the App Store's 10th anniversary, Apple relaunched the original Texas Hold'em game that they dropped 10 years ago. It was one of the very first iPhone apps ever. They completely redesigned it, rebuilt it, and re-rendered the game using high-resolution graphics, as well as added some new characters, more challenging gameplay, as well as additional other features.
I was at a conference when that rolled out, and I'm watching social media, and I was completely at a loss because I'm just seeing all these people I follow saying, well, what I just learned is that I still suck at Texas Hold'em. I'm like, what? I had no idea. And then I saw what happened, and I thought, okay, well, that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because that was a really popular game.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm going to figure out that I'm really bad at Texas Hold'em too. I just haven't done it yet.
So why didn't they also do like Super Monkey Ball or Cro-Mag Rally?
Ooh, I would love a Super Monkey Ball. But that wasn't an Apple property, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Super Monkey Ball and Cro-Mag Rally, those are two different developers. Yeah. Well, Apple has a lot of money. They could have partnered with those companies and made it worth their while to release 10th anniversary versions. How about Super Monkey Ball AR?
I'd be down for that.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Well, I mean, Angry Birds AR totally works, much to my surprise. So I'd be totally up for Super Monkey Ball AR.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Run around a room, climb over the furniture. Great.
Or, Katamari. Is that the one where you roll around with a sticky ball?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. I love Katamari. I don't know. Is that even it?
I know what you're talking about, but I have no idea what the name is. I mean, you could tell me that the name is anything and I would believe you. but I remember the game.
I think that's it. Yes, it is.
There we go. Original iPhone games. Let's see what comes up.
It's Katamari Damacy.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. Yep. And, oh, finally, mass production of the iPad 7 is set to begin this month, according to a supply chain report from Taiwan's Economic Daily News. And that is being done by Radiant Optoelectronics. They'll be the exclusive backlight module supplier for both the new iPad, or both of the new iPads. Now, this likely refers to the rumored 10.2-inch model, which is expected to succeed the 9.7 iPad. So here's where I'm kind of confused, and maybe you'll be able to help me, but maybe not. So it seems like there's going to be the iPad 7, which is the 10.2-inch, and the new iPad, which is a 10.5-inch non-pro.
Yeah, which to me seems confusing.
It is confusing.
Yeah. Wouldn't this be a situation where sticking with the 9.7-ish, 10-inch-ish screen size, that slightly smaller screen size, would make more sense for the non-pro thing?
You'd think.
Yeah, I mean, unless they've got some amazing deal on screens, but still, it feels confusing to me.
Yeah, I feel like these sorts of rumors are just like impossible to understand until Apple actually does their thing.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, just look at the iPad Pro. People were trying to figure out two different sizes and features from rumors. And when they came out, then it was like, oh, okay, we get it. It makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess we'll have to wait.
Yep. Yep. Okay. So with that, unless you had something else, let's move on to our iDevice picks. And what do you have?
Does it have to be an iDevice pick?
No.
Okay, good. Because I really want it to be the trailer for Star Trek Picard.
I knew it.
Yeah. So it was released at San Diego Comic-Con. And Patrick Stewart announced it. And I guess he announced it. And it just looks fantastic. And I guess now we know how CBS All Access is going to convince me to have a regular subscription.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, because what I've been doing is waiting until each season of Discovery is almost done, and then I pay for a month, watch the whole season, and turn off my subscription. But I'm certain they're going to have this and Discovery staggered so that I just have to keep paying for a subscription.
Yeah, yeah. It looks great. I'm really excited. There's a lot of exciting things that happen in the trailer. And what was I going to say about it?
Jonathan Frakes directed, I think, 2 episodes.
Heck yeah. I love a good yep. Frakes. Always love yep. a Frakes episode.
Yep, he always does awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's... Yeah, I'm excited. So it's coming out next year, right?
Yes. It's coming out in 2020.
I don't know. Man, it's so weird how they... It's like, okay, it's literally summer 2019, but they say it's coming... And then they have a trailer with so many things happening in it, and yet... We have to wait until next year. I don't understand how Hollywood production works.
Well, my guess is for something like this, they shot some footage specifically to be able to have it for the trailer, and if they were pulling stuff from specific episodes, then they just took those specific clips and did the what's presumably the final rendering and special effects, so that they could have that for the trailer. But I'm sure that they have lots of editing to do. They probably are going to have callbacks for I forgot the term when you have to re-record your voice.
Oh yeah. Is it ADC or something like that?
Thank you. Yep. So they probably have to do some of that still. And it looks like there are a lot of visual effects. So that takes time to do. So they'll be cranking away on all that stuff. And
yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, yep. Yeah, especially the special effects. And the thing that I was going to say is I'm going to have to look back at the last TNG movie. Because something is referenced about that, and it's kind of, it's so funny that I feel like that has been stuff that happens in that movie is referenced often, and yet it's also cited as being the worst TNG movie.
I know. It's, yeah.
But
well, there was a lot of stuff that happened in the movie that is, I think, pivotal for the characters.
Right.
It's unfortunate that the story itself was written so poorly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay, so your pick is the Star Trek Picard trailer, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And so my pick this week is I got a new watch.
Cool.
And you'll be surprised to know that it is an Apple Watch.
I'm glad I'm sitting down.
Yeah. I got the Series 4, which I know is like there's a 5 probably coming out in 2 months. But I,
that sounds about right.
Yeah, so kind of a combination of issues. I had a Series 1 that I got when it had just come out, and the battery just didn't keep up with me anymore. I do a lot of fitness tracking, and it is old. So I,
yeah, you got a lot of good use out of that.
Right. And I got to the point where it literally would not make it through half the day. And so I grabbed a second watch charger and threw it in my bag so I could charge halfway through the day, which is insane.
Yeah.
And there were situations where one or two times where I actually would have to recharge fully twice in the middle of the day, in addition to the overnight.
That's a good indicator that you either need to buy a new battery or just get a new watch.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, so I went to the Apple store and I said, hey, the battery on this is terrible. I want a new battery. And he's like, it costs $80. I highly recommend that you don't do that because this watch is so old.
He's like, yeah, the battery was worth the whole value of the watch at that point.
Basically, yeah. And so thankfully I saw that the current series, the cellular version, was available in select colors on target.com for $100 off.
Nice.
And I never had a cellular watch, but I'm thinking with my new gig, they're going to get me I'll have a work iPhone and I'll have a personal iPhone, and usually people just carry both. And that just seems crazy to me. And so I thought the great solution to that would be to get a cellular watch that is paired to my personal
watch is your personal iPhone.
Right. So then I only have to carry one phone at any point.
That's really smart. I like that.
So I got it, right before I headed to Chicago for about a week. And I'm glad I did because, I was staying with a friend and he's got a security system where you can get in, with an app. And they have a watch app, and, having to recharge as I'm walking around Chicago would be crazy. And I want to be able to track my activity and, stay in contact with people. And of course I have an iPhone 7 that I also got in probably 2016, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that battery is also bad, which I use like 150% of the battery every day. So
what you're saying is you get your money's worth out of your Apple mobile devices.
Yeah. Well, so I was like on the bus to Wrigleyville and my phone was like clearly on its way to being dead way before I was going to get back. And so I thought this is a good time to activate cellular on my watch. And it was so easy that I was able to do it on the bus from my phone, and it took like 2 minutes.
And that's just awesome.
Yeah. And so then, sure enough, about 4 hours before we had to get back, my iPhone completely died. But I was able to stay in contact with people. I was able to pull stuff up on maps and do turn by turn direction and get transit directions, all the things I needed to do, you know, fitness tracking and everything from my watch. It was so nice. So I highly recommend, I recommend the cellular service. And also if you're on a Series 0 or 1, the extra speed, it doesn't really have any new apps on it for me. Like technically it doesn't have new apps. However, it seems like it has a whole slew of new apps because I wouldn't really use almost any of them. I certainly wouldn't use messaging or maps. And yet now I do because it's actually fast enough to do those things. I'm not just sitting there waiting.
You know, when I went, I skipped Series 2, I think. I skipped one of the series in there, but I started with an OG. And when I jumped from whatever it was that I had, and then ultimately to the 4, holy crap, it was like a completely new device.
Right,
and
yeah.
I felt like with Apple Watch 4, the Apple Watch finally became the real thing that we've always wanted it to be.
Yep.
Yeah.
And of course it has the bigger screen, which is nice. And so I'm using I'm probably using the same watch face as you, the oh my gosh, what is it called? It's the one with like every corner, the Infograph.
I stopped using the Infograph.
Is it because it looks too insane?
It was too insane. Yes.
Yeah.
And I was turning off most of what the Infograph had, and I realized, you know, I can take the utility watch face and put the stuff on that I actually really need, and it will be more useful than the Infograph to me. But I do have Infograph set up. I just never use it.
Yeah. If only I had one extra complication on utility. Like just one more. And I like that activity shows me the actual number of calories, the active calories, the number.
You know, I like that. What's more valuable to me, which I prefer how it lays out on the utility, it's having step count. So I use Speedometer Plus, so I can see my step count. And the way I can display that on the utility watch face, That was like the clincher for me right there.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, for me, the fitness stuff, I'm old school because I got into it with Fitbit. You know, back when it was a thing that you clipped on your shirt or your belt or whatever.
Right.
And that was all about step counts. And I've just never gotten over the wanting to see my step count every day.
Yeah, I don't care about the step counts at all. So
that's because you're new and fresh,
yeah.
And you accept change better than I do, apparently.
Really, is that the case?
I don't know. I'm just really into my step count.
Fair enough.
Congratulations on your new watch. That's so cool.
Yeah, thank you. It's great. Yeah.
Have you played with ECG yet?
I've done it a couple times. I threw it on the infograph face as a shortcut because I get a weird, a heart skipping a beat thing every once in a while, like once every 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted quick access to be able to jump into that and see if I can capture it.
Totally makes sense.
And yeah, I've tried it a couple times, but it's weird. I didn't realize there was a minute. You had to have at least a 50 BPM heart rate for it to work to do the ECG.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and
I mean that's not a problem for me. My heart rate. I mean, if my heart rate dropped below 50, I would actually be concerned.
Yeah, apparently I didn't realize my resting heart rate was that low, but it's usually around like 48. So I don't know why. I'm sure that I can Google why it needs that for ECG, but you know, I'm sure that when my heart's doing the weird thing, it'll probably be sufficient.
It'll be
enough.
More than 48.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So with that, you can find all of our show notes and the picks at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes. Tell a friend. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the address to which you can send your questions, comments, and feedback. Our sponsors this week, of course, were Capterra, capterra.com/tios, SimpliSafe, simplisafe.com/tios, and Mint Mobile at mintmobile.com/tios. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet can be found at smilesoftware.com and at jgamet on Twitter. Thank you so much for being here, Jeff.
It's always awesome to get to hang out with you. I have so much fun.
Likewise. And I'm at Michael Johnson on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet communicator. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? A stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck.